This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Later in the program, we'll hear from a couple of new Cincinnati school board members about hiring a new superintendent and dealing with staff shortages because of COVID. But first, we seem to keep saying it, but COVID cases are still on the rise in Greater Cincinnati. In fact, COVID-19 cases now are higher than at any other time during the pandemic. This is putting stress on hospitals, schools, and businesses. Joining us today to talk about how hospitals are coping, our Health Collaborative Vice President of Clinical Strategies, Tiffany Mattingly. Hi, Tiffany.
Good morning.
And Ohio Hospital Association Director of Media and Public Relations, John Palmer. Welcome, John.
Hi, good morning.
Now, if you have a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. So we say it's bad. Tiffany, how bad is it really?
Well, it's the worst we've seen. So we've, we have our baseline of what we've experienced throughout the pandemic thus far, and we're at a place that we've never experienced before. So it's bad, to say the least.
John, talk about it statewide.
Yeah, coming off of a surge that really has really been unprecedented, we've seen numbers in patients that are sicker, more younger too. And so it just really has been impactful all the way around, because at the same time, we were seeing a lot of impact on our workforce as well. But we saw that initial surge up in our region in the Northeast with Cleveland and Akron. But what we've seen in recent days and over last week is it's really shifting to other areas of the state, particularly in Zone 3, which is Cincinnati and Dayton area as well. So it's still a problem, and it's still requiring a lot of collaborations and partnerships to get the surge addressed.
We keep hearing that Omicron is not as serious; people don't get as sick. Why is it causing such a great problem for the hospitals that Delta or the Alpha variant did not cause, Tiffany?
Sure. So Omicron, you're right. There's a lot of data out there indicating that it is less severe than Delta, that it's not causing the lower respiratory lung severity illnesses that we saw in Delta. The issue is the transmissibility. It's incredibly contagious. And so if you see four times as many Omicron cases, yet you know that hospitalization, the likelihood of hospitalization is half of that, you may still see twice as many hospitalizations that you would have seen in Delta. So, it's just a numbers game. And when we have one in three people testing positive in our testing sites in Cincinnati and the greater Cincinnati area, you know that it's just spreading very, very quickly, and the likelihood of individuals ending up in the hospital is greater.
Yeah, Tiffany, I think, made some good points, because when you look at the data going back to July, right before the Delta surge really took hold in Cincinnati, or in Ohio, really, but when you look at Cincinnati Region 6 back in July, 49 inpatients and then 22 ICUs. So those were pretty small numbers, but when we saw that Delta variant come rampant into the summer, didn't really deviate at all through the fall. And then with Omicron, created like this double storm, it really created the situation that we're in today. But it really just shows the impact of what these two variants have done to our healthcare system, case spread, and hospitalizations.
Yeah, I will add to that when we were coming down from Delta and our hospitalizations were coming down from that, 500, 600 mark, we only came down to the 200-300s before we started to climb again with Omicron. So we never really got to settle back down into those calm summer, early summer numbers that we were experiencing before Omicron hit. And today we have 1,019 patients in our Region 6 hospitals diagnosed with COVID.
Well, let's talk not only about the number of patients that you have with COVID, which, as you said, is increasing and increasing and increasing, but you are also running into issues with staffing. And this is because your staff is also becoming ill?
Correct. Yes. Staffing is one of the greatest limiting factors right now. And, simply put, staffing is going down while census is going up. So again, another perfect storm. It's very, you know, those very simple terms, but that's really what we're seeing. Staff are just as susceptible to COVID as anyone else. Healthcare workers are part of our communities, they're active members of the communities. And, you know, they may be experiencing illness themselves. They may be under quarantine or at home taking care of their own family members who have fallen ill to COVID, or children who now can't go to school because their schools are shut down because of those staffing issues and experiences that they're having.
John?
Yeah, last week, you know, again, going back to the data, last week, hospitals for inpatients were about 85% capacity for inpatient. And then when you look at the ICUs, we were nearly 86%. And really, those capacity numbers have been pretty consistent for several weeks and months of what we've been trying to deal with. But with staffing, it definitely has created us to reach out and look for partnerships. And we really just have been very fortunate and very appreciative of the response that we got from the governor's administration and with the Ohio National Guard being quickly deployed. We were seeing that type of activity in other states. We were hoping it wouldn't come to that. But frankly, we were dealt some pretty aggressive variants that really impacted our communities pretty aggressively. And we were just fortunate that the Guard were able to be activated and deployed. And over the last few weeks, it's just been so tremendous to have that interaction happening. They're really helping in three areas. One is food services. When you think about high capacity and all the patients in there, you know, we still have an obligation with providing food and meals and you know, making sure equipment and materials, rooms are set up, cleaned, have the right equipment. And the Guard have been really instrumental in helping with food services, environmental services, medics. In some cases, they're actually helping to deliver the care directly to patients as well. And then the testing. The testing has just have been so significant to help alleviate the ED overcrowding that we're really seeing in recent weeks because of the surge.
Let's talk about staffing. I think you bring up some really good points. People think of doctors and nurses when they think of staffing, but you talk about cafeteria workers and janitorial services and people to change the beds and orderlies, those sorts of things. How do you define a hospital at capacity? You could have a room with empty beds, but people not to staff it. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And that's really just because of this pandemic, we're able to touch on that a little bit clearer when you think about a building capacity and room capacity. And there was a lot of talk early in the pandemic about building out to convention centers or, you know, other areas where we could put beds and equipment and supplies. But then it was quickly realized about the caregivers and the other resources that need to be involved in that when you actually put patients in there. And it just was a scarce resource at the time and continues to be today.
Early on in the pandemic, there were issues with ventilators. I know New York was in search of ventilators, and there was concern there weren't enough ventilators. And that was certainly a piece of equipment that was very needed early on in the pandemic. Tiffany, talk about equipment needs here. Are the hospitals, staffed is not the right word, but do they have enough equipment to meet the needs of the patients that they have?
So the majority, speaking of ventilators, the majority of our urban hospitals have enough ventilators to care for their patients, as are rural and critical access hospitals that are also included in Region 6. Important to think about our region. We have 8 counties. We have really large urban hospitals, as well as our smaller rural hospitals that are considered critical access. Those hospitals have had to request additional ventilators from the state cache of ventilators that are available to really help support their patients as they're starting to see the surges, you know, come in over the wintertime. That has also helped our urban hospitals, the more that they can help manage patients out in the rural communities, helps the input of patients coming into the urban hospitals as well. So it's all about a load balancing really across the entire region, and everybody's trying to do their part to not tax out one particular hospital at any moment in time.
Now, you said that the Cleveland area had the big surge, but now it's moved to Cincinnati. Are you finding it's just going to get all over the state? Are you feeling that that's going to happen? John?
I would say yes. It just what we're facing right now. In Zone 2 area last week, all the hospitals in Zone 2 unified in determining that they needed to postpone overnight elective surgeries through Friday, through the 21st of this week, just to kind of help alleviate the situation. And so hospitals have been on surge planning mode for months, or at least going back to November, getting ready for the surge. And it's every day, multiple times a day, determining, you know, where they can bring relief, ensure services can still be provided, guard coming in, helping, and other surge planning activities like that. But it's definitely starting to increase in some other areas of the state.
Well, National Guard, I know, was brought into Cleveland. Is National Guard in Cincinnati as well now, Tiffany?
Yes, the National Guard is down here in Cincinnati. They're helping at both testing sites and within a couple of our hospitals as well.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We continue our discussion now about the strain COVID-19 is putting on area hospitals. My guests are Health Collaborative Vice President of Clinical Strategies, Tiffany Mattingly, and Ohio Hospital Association Director of Media and Public Relations, John Palmer. If you have a question, 513-419-7100. We've talked a lot about staffing and dealing with the influx of patients in the hospitals. We touched on this but didn't pursue it in our previous discussion. But what about children? It seems that more and more children are getting sick with the Omicron variant, and Children's Hospital is under a lot of strain. Tiffany, can you talk about that?
Sure, happy to. Children's is under very similar strain as the rest of the hospitals when it comes to staffing. And yet they have very different circumstances in, you know, regards to the acuity and the illnesses of patients. They have high record number of COVID patients right now. Many of them are very ill, yet they're also experiencing significant increases in patients needing mental health care and again, the similar staffing strains as well. They are an active part of our hospital steering committee and have been an active participant in surge planning throughout the course of this pandemic, even though, as we know, COVID really strikes those of an older population and doesn't really hit the pediatric population too severely in regards to illness. But we are seeing a significant climb in the number of pediatric patients testing positive for COVID and have hit record high hospitalizations for COVID at our Children's Hospital.
And you also even, Children's Hospital, I read somewhere that they are also even taking in adult patients when necessary?
They do have an adult transfer protocol that's been set up for our region to help decompress hospitals as needed. Many times they do take back adult patients that have received lifetime care at their hospital. And so it's not unusual for them to care for adult patients within their facility.
That's definitely an age group we've been following. OHA, we have a public dashboard, and we, in addition to hospitalizations for inpatient ICU, we also report out weekly trends for the age groups. And when you look at Region 6, the Cincinnati area, out of the age group 0 to 17, there were 305 hospitalizations last week. 118 of them were from Region 6, which really it was about an 85% increase. So it's just changed the dynamics a little bit when you think about the younger patients that hospitals are seeing with this current surge.
You both again mentioned staffing even in the children's hospitals as an issue. We talked about staff that has issues with COVID themselves or with family members. What about burnout and the great resignation? Are you seeing this with staff as well, Tiffany?
Yes, definitely. And this is something that, you know, really started close to a year ago after, the first couple of surges that hospitals experienced. Staff were really, experienced a lot of stress and trauma during those times. And we still hear it as well, especially in the media, when physicians and hospital representatives speak on behalf of their staff and indicate, the feelings of demoralization and just overall stress that they've experienced working through these unprecedented times and such with such critically ill patients and now at much, you know, higher volumes of patients coming through the doors. It is something that we are paying very close attention to right now. We did have the opportunity to bring in what we call a resiliency trainer a couple of months ago to work with the frontline staff, for anywhere from ICU nurses and managers to chaplains and others that have experienced hands-on what this COVID pandemic can cause, with themselves and the lives of those that are receiving care in the hospitals. That resiliency training was really well received, and we're looking to see how best we can bring that back to the community and to the healthcare workers to help support them through this current surge and to get them ready for whatever we see in the future.
John?
Yeah, the caregivers really have seen just tremendous situations with patients. Like I mentioned earlier, when you have 80% capacity for your intensive care units, you know, these are patients in there. Some of them, because of the equipment that they're on and the machines that they're on, aren't able to even communicate with visitation policies too. And caregivers there providing not just care for the physical, but also to help the caregivers through the situation. It's just been truly unprecedented to see what caregivers have had to endure going into year three of this pandemic. And it's definitely taken a toll.
Many hospitals now are requiring that their employees be vaccinated. Are you finding that some have quit over that mandate as well?
The mandate has definitely created, I think, some additional pressure during an already turbulent time. But on the other hand, a lot of hospitals have seen a good response with vaccinations, whether the initial dose or the second dose, and in many cases, the third dose for healthcare workers. But the recent ruling by the Supreme Court last week has put forth that hospitals need to comply with that. And we're going to be working to meet those deadlines that are going to be coming up this spring.
Tiffany, what about locally?
Sure. Locally, anecdotally from our hospitals, they didn't experience a significant hit of attrition due to those mandates that were put in place or those requirements that were put in place last fall. Overall, the biggest hit right now is staff that are out on quarantine or out sick or who have chosen to either resign or move their careers elsewhere due to the burnout that they've experienced. I would say the burnout, the quarantine, and the isolation is greater than anything we've seen in any attrition due to the vaccination requirements.
That's right.
What about visiting nurses? I know I've read that visiting nurses come in some cases, get paid a whole lot more than the staff that's already there. Are you finding that there's some resentment of that, John?
It's definitely a reality that has played out during this pandemic. We've seen agencies with rates three or four times higher for hospitals. And, you know, when you're really struggling with the workforce and you're looking at other options, for the most part, hospitals are trying to hire themselves and to bring them in as part of their team. A lot of them have made a lot of improvements to their benefits packages, sign-on bonuses, tried to provide a good arrangement for working there. But ultimately, some hospitals have had to work with visiting agencies, and a lot of them do even before the pandemic, to try to fill the workforce shortage that really has been going on since 2012. And it's just something that isn't sustainable for a long period of time. Financially, hospitals just aren't able to meet those rates that have been pretty prevalent during the pandemic.
One of the things you mentioned was the resiliency training and the efforts that are in place to try to help people that are working in the hospital sort of get through what has been a very difficult time for so many people mentally. What about other opportunities? Can people take a leave of absence? Can they then come back? I mean, what else is out there to help people deal with just the true trauma of what they've been through? Tiffany?
That's a difficult question for me to answer because each hospital has their own, their own approach and how to best care for their staff. my understanding is that every hospital has looked every which way to see how best they can support their staff through this time, from bringing in administrative staff to help support those on the units, to just providing additional leadership support, bringing in chaplains to work with the frontline nurses, starting their mornings off with their own kind of uplifting kind of intimate meetings with their own staff, as well as providing some pretty nice, break rooms that have, I've heard of some of the hospitals doing virtual reality and just nice, dark, quiet kind of meditative rooms that they can sit in, two chair massages, et cetera. Anything that they can do to try to help alleviate, even for a couple of minutes, provide some downtime for these frontline workers who are operating under some extreme conditions.
One of the things that has come out recently is that Pfizer, I think, is the company that has new drugs that you can take to treat it, but they're very limited. Are any of those new drugs being released in our area, Tiffany?
Yeah, we do. We are seeing some of the hospitals that are able to prescribe those oral antivirals. But again, they're on very limited supply right now. And they are actually, they come in and the supply is depleted almost immediately. Very difficult to keep that filled currently.
Any word on when that might get better? John, have you heard anything statewide about that?
No, I just know the U.S. has made purchases as far as trying to increase capacity and supply of that. And I think it's expected later this year, the spring, summer is some of the dates I've heard recently, but still in the process of getting those developed. It's going to be a huge demand. We're still in a global pandemic. There's still needs for treatment and supplies and resources. So it's going to be some time before we see that.
You both have talked sort of how the wave of Delta came and went, although it didn't go away, to get anything really back to normal in the hospitals. Do you anticipate, I know you talked about Cleveland growing and then it's coming to this area of the state now, but are you seeing any sense that we have hit a peak or that the peak is coming and we're on our way back down?
I can speak to what we're experiencing here. We're continuing to climb in Southwest Ohio in Region 6. We kept are still keeping a really close eye on Cleveland to learn from the experiences up there. We're watching the data really closely to understand when the cases peaked, how much longer, did hospitalizations peak before they started to come down. Hospitalizations are a lagging indicator. They usually come anywhere between 7 to 14 days after cases. So even once our cases peak, we're going to still see hospitalizations climb. And then subsequently, we'll see ICU cases climb after that. So keeping a really close eye on it, we've had some pretty significant events this past weekend that could, potentially cause cases to increase at a greater rate than what we were expecting or what the Cleveland area saw. And I think we'll have that again this weekend, which is why we're really encouraging, mask wearing and monitoring of symptoms prior to leaving your house if you're going out for those playoff games this weekend.
Thank you both for being here. We are out of time. I really appreciate you taking the time today. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Engineer for today's show is Josh Elstro. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.